Chapter 4. The Observer. The universe and the observer exist as a pair, existing in a timeless embrace. The central and all-encompassing role of the observer in quantum mechanics, what Wheeler refers to as the magic ingredient, is the most important clue we have regarding the construction of the universe. Wheeler asks, is the architecture of existence such that only through observership does the universe have a way to come into being? According to Wheeler, the universe is a self-referential, strange loop in which physics gives rise to observers, who then give rise to information, which in turn gives rise to physics. The universe gives rise to meaning-establishing observer participants who, in developing the ideas of quantum mechanics, grant a meaningful existence to the universe. To quote Wheeler, we could not even imagine a universe that did not somewhere and for some stretch of time contain observers, because the very building materials of the universe are these acts of observer participancy. You wouldn't have the stuff out of which to build the universe otherwise. In other words, a universe which doesn't contain observers is unimaginable. According to quantum theory, observers play no minor part, but rather an indispensably creative role in the genesis of the universe, while at the same time being a product of the very universe that they are helping to create. The construction of the universe is such that the observer is as essential to the creation of the universe as the universe is essential to the creation of the observer. The question presents itself, who or what made the observations necessary to create the observers? In other words, if observers create reality, where do the observers come from? The question naturally arises, what constitutes an observer? This is one of the central and most burning philosophical questions in quantum physics. In addition to humans, what about a cat, a mouse, a cockroach, an amoeba, or a piece of mica? How does their observation differ from human observership? Are there observers that help shape the universe that do not have physical bodies? The spiritual traditions of the world are replete with accounts of just such kinds of observers after all. If so, is there a cooperative collaboration between these disembodied observers and the more fully embodied ones in which all the parties involved are co-creating how reality unfolds? Where does consciousness first enter in the elaborate hierarchy of terrestrial life? Where does the capacity to collapse a wave function derive from? Does it come from the presence of consciousness or from some other condition? It's as if observership and its ability to translate unmanifest possibilities into definite actualities is a pervasive feature which is widely distributed throughout the web of life. In any one observation, the entire universe is in some way implicated and participating. From this perspective, all life forms are dreaming together, collectively collapsing the universal wave function of this universe to manifest the way it is moment by moment. It becomes extraordinarily difficult to state sharply and clearly where the community of observer participants begins and where it ends. The boundary between the two is continually shifting. Bohr used the famous parable of a blind man with a cane to illuminate the epistemology of the measurement problem, that is, the difficulty of demarcating the measuring instrument from the object to be measured. Trying to find his bearings on a sidewalk with the aid of the cane, if the man holds the cane tightly, he feels with it, feeling as if the tip of the cane were an extension of the self. Becoming part of the subject, the cane becomes an extended arm. For the blind man, the world begins at the cane's tip. But if he holds the cane loosely, then he is more likely to feel the cane as an object outside of himself. In other words, the cane can be either subject or object, depending upon how the man relates to it. The cane can be related to in two ways, but never in both ways at the same time. Something similar applies to our ideas, concepts, and view of the world. When we view the universe through them, they are part of us as subject. When we examine and think about them, they are objects. Furthermore, imagine extending the man's sense of touch beyond the tip of the cane onto the sidewalk. Where does the blind man end and the world begin? Similarly, with a quantum entity, such as an atom, each time we attempt to observe it, we become linked to it so that we can no longer say which is us and which is the atom. We can no longer say where we end and where the atom begins, as we and the atom that we are observing become, through our act of observing, part of an indivisible, mutually co-arising system. In this single system, it makes no sense, and in fact introduces inaccuracies and misleading distortions to continue to describe our interaction with the atom as an encounter of two separate systems. Schrödinger felt that the abrupt change that takes place as a result of measurement was the most interesting point of the entire theory. He writes, "In general, a variable has no definite value before I measure it. Then measuring it does not mean ascertaining the value that it has. But then what does it mean?" Schrödinger's pointing to how the formalism of quantum theory is not only unable to describe what happens during the process of measurement, but it is unable to give an account of what we even mean by measurement. Wheeler felt that measurement, which is an act of choice among possible outcomes, was the true essence of quantum mechanics. The measurement problem, however, of which the act of observation is key, is no ordinary problem. The idea of observer participancy implies that the universe has built into it from the very beginning the potentiality for giving birth to and housing observers. Without observers, there is no existence. In Wheeler's words, there would be nothing rather than something. Philosopher Martin Heidegger considered the question, "Why is there something rather than nothing?" to be the most fundamental and important question for philosophy. Noted physicist Stephen Hawking has even openly wondered why the universe goes to all the bother of existence at all. Hawking's and Heidegger's questions are another way of asking, what is the meaning of life? It sounds like the edge between physics and philosophy is becoming harder to distinguish. In any case, the universe creates the conditions and paves the way for the emergence of the very observers that bestow upon it a certain reality, completing the transaction that allows the stars to shine, so to speak. In a world without a built-in purpose, quantum theory promotes the observer to the definer and experiencer of reality, as well as its generator of meaning, which is essentially a creator of distinctions, a primordially creative role. However we view it, we can't get around the fact that we are actively participating in creating our experience of the universe. Wheeler says, "We are inescapably involved in bringing about that which appears to be happening." Not only are we involved in bringing about what seems to be happening, we are intimately involved in creating our experience of ourselves as well. To quote from the wonderful book Quantum Enigma, Physics Encounters Consciousness, by physicists Bruce Rosenbloom and Fred Kuttner, "If our observation creates everything, including ourselves, we are dealing with a concept that is logically self-referential and mind-boggling." As Hofstadter would say, we are one strange loop. Our physics insights into the participatory character of the universe, with all of its yet-to-be-realized implications, just the beginning of a profound shift that is truly evolutionary. In his journal, Wheeler poetically describes the quantum principle as a tiny tip of giant iceberg as umbilicus of the world. What we currently comprehend of the revelation that is quantum physics and the corresponding technology that we have made as a result of our insights is but the tiny tip of giant iceberg, with the overwhelming majority of the iceberg underwater, in the unconscious, yet to be uncovered. To quote Freeman Dyson, "Fortunately, the ideas of Wheeler give us the basis for believing that the world of physics may be truly inexhaustible. There will always be new worlds to explore, new effects of observer participation reacting back upon the laws of physics, new connections for the Einsteins and John Wheelers of the future to speculate upon."